Hello, folks. This is Andy Boris with Lead with Strength. Glad to have you here with us. We're kicking things off with our first podcast. And we're going to go over the format here. So each week we'll cover different topics that are kind of trending on Twitter. Things that I see have been maybe a little argumentative, or someone posted as an opinion about what's proper with strength and conditioning. I hear a lot of other podcasts. I'm in conversations with other strength coaches, you know, things that we debate, things that we agree on, just stuff like that. So stuff that, you know, I just want to share with other strength coaches, people with fitness interest, and athletes that are trying to improve their sport or their athleticism. So tonight, recording this is as I actually sit at the high school where I'm strength coach, and gonna go through some of the things as of late that I've been doing, that I do, that I believe in with my programs, and kind of talk about what we have going on. So let's start off with summer is right around the corner for us. We've got about 10 days now, I think, before actual school's out, and we start summer school, but we also start all of our athletic camps and things for summer. And for me, that means off-season or summer training. Specifically, I have basketball coming in at noon throughout the week, and then I have wrestling at 1:30. We're still looking at schedules for some of the other teams, and we'll get those set up soon. Everyone kind of battles for time, of course, in the weight room, and try to get kids in right after school before the activity buses go out for the high school to get kids back home. And then we have private training and camps and clinics and things that I'm involved in as well. So this week, been discussing a lot more methodology with people, specifically coaches and some parents who are bringing their kids in for one-on-ones. And a few of the points that I emphasize when I am with a new parent or discussing, you know, what we're going to be doing and what the focus should be, in my opinion, with the athletes. And of course, I for sure take in the coaches' considerations, but hopefully they're taking in mine. Otherwise, I'm not that interested in working with them since I've been doing this for 30 years, and I want to make sure that what I'm utilizing from my experiences is being utilized with those coaches and those kids. So, in every scenario, every single day, every program I write, I believe everything, every workout, every athlete, every individual, 6 to 9 years old, 10 to 14 years old, 15 to 18 years old, college athlete, pro athlete, even adults with personal training, and I do all of that. Everyone has a focus of deadlift and cleans. Now, that doesn't mean we deadlift and clean every day. That means that we have the same or partial movements every day of one of the two. So we might have a deadlift, we might have a single leg deadlift, we might have a single leg touchdown, we might have a split squat, we may have a high pull, we may have a front squat, which is a clean catch, really. So we have all of those components are part of our day every day, or some of those components are part of our day every day. Now, on top of that, we may also have bench press, push press, shoulder press, you know, bent over row, whatever it might be. So I created years ago, probably 2006, at a Perform Better Summit, in roundtable discussions and private discussions, I think over drinks, and I think it was at the Westin in Chicago, at the Shula restaurant, if I remember right, we wrote down a functional progression, is what we called it back then. So functional strength progression. And it's interesting that not a whole lot has changed with that progression. Some terminology, some emphasis maybe. I know Mike Boyle has gone back and forth a little bit with some things, which I love about him. Squat, don't squat type stuff. He's the first to admit that he's not confident in something, and then he gained some a different perspective on it and has changed his mind. I love that, which I've tried to model as well, for sure. I am open to anything, but I also pride myself on being almost one of the old-timers now in the industry, and I have perspective on things, and I have a good, solid belief in things. I've read enough, I've seen enough, I've researched enough, I've trained enough that I can form my own opinions finally. And I can be pretty staunch on some of those opinions if I can regurgitate the research to back it, if I have a solid reason behind it. I'm not just making something up. So, deadlift, I think, is the best exercise for anybody. Best movement pattern, hip hinge in particular, getting the best bang for your buck by far. And then the clean, I just know for a fact that the most successful programs that I've been a part of, high school, college, pro, and that I know of, high school, college, pro, clean. I saw recently a friend of mine from years back, Lou, is back at University of Illinois, and I believe the article, the statistic, was his expectation for his athletes to be cleaning 380 pounds. And a certain number of his athletes is his goal to do that. Or I think that's what the article was saying. And, you know, I was like, wow. I mean, that's great stuff. I mean, he's been doing it long enough. He's been to enough places. He knows what he can expect. He knows what he can achieve. And he knows what it takes to achieve greatness, for sure. So I utilize the clean every day for that reason. So around that, we start every single session with a diet with, well, first of all, some footwork, meaning usually a lacrosse ball on the foot. Goes back to old school stuff, you know, learned years ago. Soft tissue on the foot, lengthen the fascia from the bottom of your foot to the top of your forehead. Instantly has an impact. And as of the last few years, we've learned that fascia almost has its own nervous system. It reacts independently to muscular. So it's more and more important every day. I honestly say that the number one thing that has changed my ability to train and coach better in everything in the past 30 years has been the foam roller and the ability for someone to learn how to do soft tissue on themselves. So my goal is for someone to achieve a movement or a lift, and a lot of times there is a postural problem, a positional thing that they cannot achieve due to muscular imbalances or tightness or weakness or not firing or whatever the heck you want to call it. And we are able to deal with that with reciprocal inhibition. We can focus on deactivating, if you want to say that, a muscle or muscles, and activating the opposing. So we can utilize that foam roller to give us a window of opportunity to activate the opposing muscle group enough that we get some balance and symmetry for a time being during the workout. Where, in my belief, if we do that often enough, we can re-engineer the body. So if someone's coming in with really tight hip flexors, overactive hip flexors, I don't say that their glutes don't fire, because their glutes fire, but their hip flexors fire more. So if we can foam roll and deactivate a little bit that hip flexor, and then we go right into activation drills that are going to emphasize the glute activation and not overemphasize hip flexor activation, in that process, we have a window of opportunity. And the more we do that, the quicker we get back to symmetry. So, every day, lacrosse ball, golf ball, little rubber bouncy ball, it depends on the person and their tolerance and how long they've been doing it. Every day, foam roll, stick, a lot of thoracic spine work, a lot of hip flexor work, calves, that sort of thing. In general, we see about the same exact thing with most athletes in terms of what they need to focus on. Adductors are a huge problem. TFL, hip flexors, you know, thoracic spine and calves, ankle mobility. So we can generalize, for the most part, what we need to foam roll, what we need to deactivate, what we need to activate, and then we hit our dynamic warm-up as well. And in that, it's a progressive dynamic warm-up, so over time it changes a little bit. We might drop off a few, we might add a few. But for the most part, it's the same. And I am a huge believer that that's very, very important. Probably the most important part of the entire session for a lot of athletes, where they're going to learn, going to have drilled into them every single day, a group of 30 to 40 different exercises or movements that are going to improve their motor efficiency, their neurological efficiency, to move in better ways as an athlete or just as an individual, as just human movement, right? So dorsiflexion, hip drive, whatever it is, static spine, we're going to skip, we're going to walk, we're going to lunge, we're going to crawl, we're going to roll, we're going to do all those things during that dynamic warm-up to get ourselves ready. We're also, by the way, going to have some light plyometrics. We're going to burn a lot of calories. We're going to get our body and temperature and heart rate up. We're going to be prepared to go into the next portion. And in my programming, that is always straight into the most neurologically demanding exercises. So we get into either the deadlift or the clean or the partial movement of that, or, you know, a portion of that movement. Something that's going to emphasize that specific exercise down the road. So from there, we'll hit our plyometrics and our Olympic lifts or the deadlift and clean. We'll do some med ball tosses. We'll go our linear movements if we're working on speed, lateral movements if we're working on agility. Some coordination is thrown in there as well, but mainly during the dynamic warm-up. And then we hit our auxiliary lifts. A lot of times there's conditioning involved in that portion. So it might be a superset, it might be a Tabata, something like that. And core would be probably involved in that, unless we decide to peel core out of that and put it on its own at the end, depending on how much conditioning and how much rest ratios and things we have in the conditioning cycle that day, and what team it is and where they're at in the training phase. So energy system development is definitely a part, but it's towards the very end. We talk a lot about practicing perfect. We want to give lots of breaks in our drills, especially speed, linear and lateral stuff, and plyometrics. We want to do it correctly. We want to have good form. We want to have max effort every single time with breaks in between. We're not trying to do this for fitness until we get to energy system development at the end. And then we worry about work to rest ratios and what we're actually doing in those sessions. So that's, in a nutshell, that's our program design and, you know, what we're looking for from our athletes on a day-to-day session. So I'll go into more detail on some other things, in the next episode, in the next podcast, and, hopefully get some interviews in down the road. But right now, I think we're going to end it for today. And, if you have some ideas and some questions and things you want me to discuss and cover, then please let me know. You can email me at aavfitness@gmail.com and be happy to answer questions for you or get to those topics. So, thanks so much for listening, and until next time, thanks.